I apologize for sitting. Just Mikey tripped me down the path.
Yeah,
and
right,
yeah.
Mikey.
It's all your fault.
Well, the good news is I was going to keep it decently short because I figure it's one thing to subject the congregation to my normal lengthy ones, another to you. But with the pain, it's all the more reason to keep it short. Well, first of all, thanks for coming out. I'm glad you guys chose the Antrim Church of Christ for your Boy Scout Sunday. I hope it won't be the last time. All the more reason to keep it short. And I don't know how many people here, I'm hoping the scouts will find some of the facts I'm about to share not new, but I'm not sure how many people here are familiar with scouting and where it came from. First of all, what is so special about this Scouting Sunday?
What?
100th, right? Which means, doing the quick mental math, when did scouting start?
A long time ago. 1,000.
Conval math. I said mental math, not conval math.
Conval math is easier.
So when is it from?
1910.
I see, but that wouldn't be 100 then. Yes, it would. Come on. Okay, so scouting started. They were officially started, actually, by... And by the way, I won't take it personally because pronunciation's never been my forte, but officially started by Robert Stevenson Smith Baden-Powell. He must be important because he has like 13 names. When he published Scouting for Boys back in 1908, right? So that's how scouting started. Was it started in the U.S.? Or was it started?
In England.
Now, he was a general by the time he started. When he kind of got the idea, he was, I believe, just a colonel. And he was officially crowned the first and only... Does anybody in the Boy Scouts know what he was crowned? Back in 1920 at the World Scout Jamboree in London. The first and only chief scout of the world. I guess you get some big medal for that, right? Now, the Boy Scouts of America was incorporated just about this time, February 8th, by who? Don't all speak up at once. You see, now the congregation has an excuse, but some of the Boy Scouts should know this, right? Are you going to properly beat them on Wednesday, Brian? Who started the Boy Scouts of America?
Some deadbeat.
Yeah. That would be Conval history.
Yes.
Yeah. William Boyce, who was a wealthy newspaper publisher, and he came, it says that he came on the boys' work by accident. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. And in 2000, there was a big milestone that was crossed. Do any Boy Scouts know what that milestone was in 2000? Well, it would be a little before 2000. 2000, 100 millionth member was registered in 2000. So that's quite a lot of people. If you think about if the early history of the world, I don't know how long it took the world to get to 100 million people. In less than a century, 100 millionth member. And that's Boy Scouts of America, so I don't even know worldwide what that would mean. Now, from I mentioned the Boyce's accidental introduction to the Boy Scouts, and this is off a website, the usscouts.org. You're probably familiar with that. But this is a story of a good turn from the Boy Scout Handbook, 10th edition, chapter 26. I'm sure all the Boy Scouts have memorized it. And where it starts off, it says, how good must a good turn, and good turn in that case is capitalized, to be good, in italics? The answer is best given by telling you the story of how scouting came to America. It shows that it isn't the size of a good turn that counts. What is important is the spirit with which a scout does a good turn. Do a good turn daily is the scout what? Scouts? It's not the motto. Slogan, thank you. We'll just ask Mr. Beale to answer all the scouting questions. Just understand, every time he has to answer one, that means one more lash for all the scouts on Wednesday. One day in 1909 in London, England, an American visitor, William D. Boyce, lost his way in a dense fog. By the way, who started scouting in America, Boy Scouts? I'm sorry? Louder, gentlemen?
William Boyce.
Boyce, thank you. Little did I know this was going to be a history lesson for the Boy Scouts. He lost his way in a dense fog. He stopped under a street lamp and tried to figure out where he was. A boy approached him and asked if he could be of help. You certainly can, said Boyce. He told the boy that he wanted to find a certain business office in the center of the city. I'll take you there, said the boy. When they got to the destination, Mr. Boyce reached into his pocket for a tip, but the boy stopped him, mugged him, and took all his money. No, that's not how it happened. Mr. Boyce reached into his pocket for a tip, but the boy stopped him. No, thank you, sir. I am a scout. I won't take anything for helping. A scout? And what might that be? Asked Boyce. The boy told the American about himself and his brother scouts. Boyce became very interested. After finishing his errand, he had the boy take him to the British scouting office. And at that office, Boyce met Lord Robert Baden-Powell, the short version of his name, the famous British general who had founded the scouting movement in Great Britain. Boyce was so impressed with what he had learned that he decided to bring scouting home with him. So that was a minor but significant good turn, right? That in the chance meeting on a street in dense leaden fog with Sherlock Holmes in the background, a lost American found a Boy Scout, or one might say a Boy Scout found a lost American, brought him where he was, and we now have over 100 million members. And Mikey, did you say that that Boy Scout is known as the Unknown Boy Scout, or is that what he's known as? They don't have a tomb for him or anything, do they? And I think that as we all sit here, that we all could agree that scouting has had some impact on our lives, whether we've been a Boy Scout. I'll admit I wimped out after Weeblos, although I think I got that arrow thingy. Is that the arrow light or whatever? That arrow thingy. Either you've been in Boy Scouts or you've helped with Boy Scouts or even a Boy Scout has helped you. I'm hoping on Wednesday that Mikey spoke of his skills, that when I hit the deck, tearing the tendon off my kneecap, on Monday night, part of the way that I was able to get to the hospital was because Mikey and Mom, she obviously pays attention more than some of you Boy Scouts do, Mikey and Mom immediately put it on ice. Mikey made a splint because the only thing I didn't want to do with that leg was move it, and I was able to get to the hospital. So even recently with me, the fact that the Boy Scouts are teaching, and this time, Mr. Beal, it wasn't with Jell-O and ketchup. For those on the first aid overnight at the teen center would understand that. And there's some nice, good, gross pictures on the Boy Scout website. It's amazing how it looks like the real thing. But just that recently, the fact that they've been trained, I'm in a lot of pain right now, but I can tell you that the first few days before the doctors decided to punish me, I didn't have that much pain or inflammation because of the Boy Scouts. Now, we're gonna try. Oh, and by the way, in fairness to Mikey, he wanted to do more, and I wouldn't let him. I think he would have carried me up like some special chair. What you threw me on the sled? What would you have done if I'd let you do it while we were outside? Pulled me up the hill and stuff like that. I decided to slide up myself. A little dignity left for Dad. Okay, now I'm hoping. By the way. As a matter of fact, I'm sorry, Mike, I forgot. Can you grab your, out of my book bag, can you grab the Boy Scout handbook? Thank you. So I am hoping this part, otherwise the lashing is going to be terrible on Wednesday. If I turn to page 9 of the Boy Scout manual, it has the scouting oath, the scouting law, the scouting motto, the scouting slogan, and then the outdoor code. Is there a Boy Scout who's willing to recite the oath for me? Okay. Let's. Boy Scouts, please stand up and recite the Boy Scout oath. Wait, don't sit down. Nice try. How about the scouting law? You guys know the scouting law, right?
Yeah.
All slow together, please.
All slow. Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
I question the clean part. Okay, Scout motto? Scout motto?
Be prepared.
Well, that was easy. Finally, the Scout slogan. Now you can sit. Thank you. Now, for all the Christians in here, was there anything you just heard that you would disagree with?
No.
I mean, those are pretty good motto, slogans, whatever, to live by. And part of what I have to do, and Scouts, I hope you'll put up with it, is that because I am preaching in a Christian church, I have to go ahead and talk about how that lines up with Christ, with Christianity. And I've got some good news, I think. So what I'd like to do first is look at the motto, be prepared. And if I can get everybody to turn to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And for anybody who's less familiar, it's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And by the way, Scouts, I didn't choose this because it's about 10 virgins, but I'll let you read what you want into that part. The parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out and meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Be prepared. Does that fit, be prepared? Now, obviously, the be prepared that the Boy Scout has is a little more universal. But there's no question that the be prepared is very, very biblical. And we won't go into all the theological implications of the 10 virgins, but I think we can go along with that, right? Any other stories in the Bible people can think about being prepared? We probably could, but I like that one because that parable, if there's anyone that shows between the wise and the foolish, and Ryan, I think of all the times you talk about people bringing water, right? And if you didn't insist on it and you got halfway through a hike, and the ones who didn't bring the water said to the ones that did bring their water, "Share your water," then nobody would have enough, right? How about the Scout Oath? Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. We all there? Starting with verse 25. Luke 10. Luke 10. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.'" Of course, the lawyer, like a lawyer, I'm sorry, are there any lawyers here? The lawyer, like a lawyer, couldn't leave it at that. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And by the way, the Jews had a big problem with understanding who were their neighbors at that time. Not making a generalization now. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he stopped." Nope, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Let me ask you this. Could you imagine a scout passing the man who was mugged? Becca always there to contradict. Thank you, Becca. Just remember, she doesn't think high things of you scouts out there. No, I don't think it would pass a scout. Although in some ways I wondered if it's only so they can practice their skills, not using Jell-O and ketchup. But no, it would not. Seriously, if you think about it, the reason that scouting is even in America is because the unknown scout was being a good Samaritan. It wasn't as tragic, just somebody lost in the fog, but he was being a good Samaritan, and because of that, we've had over 100 million scouts in America. So I think we could also agree that scouting teaches neighborliness, right? Mm-hmm. And if, you know, I could go on to a lot of things. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't get along. Is there an organization that teaches that boys are boys and should all work together more than scouting? Scouting has never had to wrestle with many of the things that other organizations have. I'm not saying a perfect history, but all boys are equal, right? One other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, because I still look at it and I say, so is the oath biblical? And from the U.S. Scouting Service Project's scouting websites by Scouters for Scouters, it had this. It said, "Note that the Boy Scout oath has traditionally been considered to have 3 promises. Those 3 promises are delineated by semicolons in the oath, which divide it into 3 clauses. The 3 promises of the Scout oath are therefore duty to God and country, duty to other people, and duty to self." Do those sound familiar? At least the first two? What were the 2 greatest commandments? Right. Duty to God and country. And then what's the 2nd greatest commandment?
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, I would say the oath is biblical. And I think we can give a little leeway for country and stuff, because in the proper perspective, put in the proper place, God first, right? There's nothing wrong with that. And it shouldn't surprise us that they do go online. Also, another page on the U.S. Scouting Service Project says, "The Boy Scouts of America has always been committed to the moral, ethical, and spiritual development of our youth. Scouting is not a religion, but duty to God is a basic tenet of the Scout oath and law. Scouting does not seek to impose its belief upon others who do not share them. Virtually every religion is represented in Scouting, and the Boy Scouts of America does not define or interpret God. That is the role of the Scouts' family and religious advisors." And I'm glad that that is, because depending on who the leader was, I might not agree with what they teach, Mikey. They've never hidden the importance of religion, and it has cost them. It has cost them. There are places they can't go anymore because they've been attacked, but they've stood by it, and I think we can all respect that. Now, I will bring up finally what I would say 1 limit, however, and this is just my advice to the scouts. is I will not try to tell any scout here today what to believe. I can't tell you. It's just like when two brothers fight and the mom says, now tell your brother that you love him. You can't make your brother love your other brother, right? I mean, your son love his brother. You can say it all you want. And I'm not going to tell you what to believe. However, I do want to look at something. So let's go to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And by the way, I don't mean to point this actually at the scouts. I would point this to everybody. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. And we'll give a couple extra moments here for perhaps people who might be less familiar. We're starting to study Ephesians in the Bible study for the adults. And it's quite a book. Paul spent a lot of time with the Ephesians. And I would consider this another one of his books from his heart. So Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Although I agree with the scout slogan, "Do a good turn daily," we Christians believe that's not how you make it. It's important that you do it. Even this, which says you are saved by faith through grace, right, does say that we should be doing good works. But we're not saved by works. But more importantly, I think we have to be very cautious about what this little blurb from the scout's commitment, not to seek to impose its belief upon others who do not share them. Virtually every religion is represented in scouting, and the Boy Scouts of America does not define or interpret God. Scouting must act that way as an organization, and I'm actually very thankful that they do. Like I said, I'd hate to find out that they have some Muslim leader, and suddenly Mikey's being forced to pray to Allah. I don't think we'd all want that, even though we might be thankful for a Muslim leader, right? But the only thing that I'd like to point out to the Boy Scouts is that at some point, the object of your faith, that God, does matter. So whether I'm right or wrong, I would ask all of you at some point in your life, and generally I recommend sooner than later since we never know when the last point's going to be, that you actually do figure it out because the object of one's faith is important. And I'll just give an example. When I was training as a drug and alcohol counselor in the Navy, one of the third step of AA is make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I remember going to a meeting one time where the person explaining that, because there are a lot of people with good reason who have something against religion, and the person says, "Well, your God could be that doorknob over there." Literally what it said. And I would agree that even though faith in a doorknob might actually get it so that you can get past an addiction, faith in a doorknob will not get you to heaven. So the object of your faith is important. And what I would say is that as you look at that, just remember that the world today will tell you that there are multiple truths, that it's everybody's path and stuff, and I would just suggest that just like in school, what's 1 plus 1? It's 2. At some point there is truth, and my truth may be wrong. I don't think it is, otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here. But please don't fall for that. There aren't multiple truths. But one thing I can tell you, whatever God is the real God, I personally thank them for the Boy Scouts. And I thank you for coming.